Like every Monday night, you're checking out Breakfast Soup Raw.
Enjoy as Don, Tony, and Mish spill the soup about pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Soup Raw.
Breakfast Soup Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don Tony.
Hey, good evening, everybody. It is Monday night, April 18th, 20. Is it April 18th? Yes. Got the date right. April 18th, 2022. Breakfast Soup Raw. I am Don Tony, and he is
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on, DT?
Not much. Got through, you know, an interesting Raw, some good points, some low points, some points that I thought was very predictable from last week. Austin Theory, the new United States champion. I don't know why people were shocked today that that wasn't going to happen.
Think more people were shocked that Vince came out.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And you know, I'm sure a lot of you out there thought this as well. The way Austin Theory was looking as he walked down the rampway, as he was posing with Vince, I thought Austin Theory was going to cheap shot him, or at least say something very derogatory that I don't need you, or I did this all by myself, you know, something like that. I mean, that could be coming because Vince is not going to be a repetitive on-air character. But look, for everyone out there that, you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but for those out there that are saying, oh, Finn Balor, his career is done and this and that, you know, a lot of you out there have been agreeing with what we've been saying, that we'd love to see Finn Balor join up with Edge and Damian Priest. It's a lot easier to do that with Finn Balor not holding a championship right now. And I think Finn Balor and Damian Priest would be a pretty damn awesome tag team. You know, they could possibly go for some tag team gold down the line. I know there's a little stranglehold right now with RK-Bro and the Usos, but we'll talk about it. Tonight's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated show. No joke, I've been dealing with a migraine all day, and it is still lingering. I just popped a couple of Tylenols. I think we'll get through the show just fine. Mostly we're going to talk about tonight is Raw. A little clarification about something floating around about Kushida, a couple other news tidbits, but we want to open up with this, and I purposely put my finger over part of it because, you know, some of this information is very personal, and, you know, this has to do with the Tammy Sitch tragic fatal auto accident. Now, if anybody out there has been tuning into our shows talking about what transpired, I gave everybody a little bit of a lesson as far as, you know, how the boyfriend will likely be sued, you know, implied, you know, usage of the vehicle. And I understand why people are frustrated. A lot of this comes down to the results of the blood alcohol tests that were done. And I know, you know, Mish brought out some excellent points last time. You know, we could find out in a matter of hours in a hospital. But when you're talking about the legal system and you're talking about million-dollar lawsuits and you're talking about someone who died, jail time, and some serious charges attached to it, there are so many steps. There is a chain of command that it has to go through. And sure, you know, we could get the results. Anybody could get the results in a matter of a couple of days. But it has to be done via a certain procedure, because if they take a shortcut and a good lawyer exposes that in court, charges could be dropped because of a technicality. So believe me when I tell you, when Florida, the district attorney, everybody who's involved that is working on this case, they want to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. So let me open up with this, because I know there's quite a few of you that are going to be tuning in to the show, whether live or on the replay, and just wanted to hear about the Tammy information that I got, because on Saturday, I told everyone that I had some information already, but it was going to come out in a couple of days. You know, it's to be respectful for the family who filed the wrongful death lawsuit. Friday was Good Friday. offices were either closed or closed early. So it wasn't going to be in the system till today. So I am not TMZ. I wait until things are in the system. Then we talk about it. So right now, as we speak, Tammy Sitch and her boyfriend, James Pent, you know, some people pronounce it Penty. They are going to be served with summonses being sued. Wrongful death lawsuit. And this comes on behalf of the estate of the gentleman who passed away. This is filed by the family. And this is filed. This is not rumor. This, you're getting this before TMZ or anyone else is going to report it. And I have some specifics that I will share with you that stems what they are claiming. Now, a lot of this is going to sound like, you know, legalese, but I'd rather read it to you exactly the way it's worded. It's not a lot. It's like, this is just the opening. This is the filing. You know, believe me, I tell you, these four pages will turn into 400 pages when everything is said and done. So anyway, this is a wrongful death lawsuit. Damages in excess of the court's minimum, which is $30,000. The plaintiff is actually the daughter of the deceased and has been appointed as the personal representative of the estate of the gentleman who passed away. The defendant, Tammy Sitch, is a resident of Kingsburg, Monmouth County, New Jersey. I will not read her address. And James Penty, the other defendant, is a resident of Ormond Beach, Volusia County, Florida. The motor vehicle accident that is the subject of this action occurred in Ormond Beach, Volusia County, Florida. Upon and belief, on or about March 25th, 2022, the defendant, Tammy Sitch, was intoxicated and operating a motor vehicle owned by the defendant, Penty, southbound on Nan Yon Street near the intersection of West Granada Boulevard and Ormond Beach, Volusia County, Florida. Defendant Sitch operated the motor vehicle with the consent, either expressed or implied. Remember the little education I gave everyone? Because I've been an insurance guy since 1998. So that is implied consent. Remember when I said that the boyfriend has a very difficult decision to make? If he tells the cops, I told her not to use the vehicle, I was sleeping, I had no idea that she used the vehicle, she could get even more charges against her. So it appears that he never said that. So it is implied that, and this is bad because, look, this doesn't even talk about her driver's license situation. This is just the opening court pages. But the fact that we all knew about her driving status and her privileges and what was taken away, the fact that he has a relationship with her, it is implied even more that he knew that she should not get behind the wheel and did so anyway. All right. On or about March 25th, 2022, the deceased, I don't want to say his name, he was also operating a motor vehicle on that road. Okay, we'll get to the final parts of this. At the time and place referenced in paragraph 6 and 8, defendant Sitch negligently operated and maintained her motor vehicle so that it collided with the rear end of the deceased, resulting in his death. At the time of his death, this person was survived and they have as far as the family. Defendant Sitch owned a duty to the deceased and all motorists with whom she shared the roadway to operate or maintain the motor vehicle she was operating in a reasonably safe and prudent manner. At the time and place referenced, defendant Sitch breached her duty to the deceased by negligently operating and maintaining a motor vehicle so that it crashed into the motor vehicle being driven by the deceased. And then it goes on a little bit further. Defendant Pent is vicariously liable for the negligent actions or omissions of defendant Sitch pursuant to the doctrine of dangerous instrumentality as a direct and proximate result of defendant Sitch's negligence for which Pent is liable. The defendant, the deceased's estate and his survivor have suffered damages more fully and forth hereafter. And then it goes on to talk about, you know, obviously funeral expenses, other, you know, costs associated to plus mental anguish and pain that the family had lost a loved one. So this is pretty much the beginning of this. Now,
what are they looking for?
Well, they did this. There's no dollar value associated with the, right now. This is just serving the papers.
Okay. I was even talking about dollar value. Is there an amount of time that they're looking for Sonny?
No, this is not criminal. This is the wrongful death lawsuit.
Okay.
Yeah. The criminal hasn't happened yet. I'm going to get to that now. One of the reasons why this was filed this late was because, you know, you can't allege that someone was intoxicated if they weren't intoxicated. And, you know, like
the chief of police alleged it.
Right. Well, the police have the authority and the police are not suing. The police can make observations and accusations. Someone serving a lawsuit claiming that somebody was intoxicated, you know, if it's proven by the hospitals that she wasn't intoxicated, this damages it. My point is that when you file a lawsuit, a wrongful death lawsuit, you usually make sure that everything that you are claiming is 100% accurate and correct. So this right now, they all know the results of the blood tests. But like I said, it's got to go through a certain stages to get to the final, whatever is going to go down. Now, I'm not TMZ. I'm not no professional, but I'm just telling you all this right now. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in the next couple of days. I believe it'll happen sometime this week. But from what I was told, she is going to be criminally charged for this auto accident resulting in death. I don't want to, you know, tell you the charges she's facing until it's actually been, you know, officially made public and she's been charged with it. I think anybody out there could put two and two together and understand what she's looking at. The big problem with her is the multiple DUIs, DWIs. She's got six or seven of them. She's been in a lot of legal trouble. So this is not just like her first incident. And unfortunately, she was under the influence and caused the death of someone. You know, when this comes out, that her driving privileges.
She went to jail for her DUIs as well. So this isn't like this is spoken, you know, territory for her. Sure. She's been punished. She went to prison for it. I believe, what was it, 190 days total?
Oh, much more than that. Yeah, she's been in jail. Yeah. You add it all together, it's years. But
Jail. I'm talking prison. How long was she in prison, not jail?
Well, prison, you're talking about full-blown, like not holding cell? Years combined. It's got to be years.
Okay.
So, you know, there is some serious, serious charges attached to this. Now, what everybody needs to understand is take note that there was no insurance company mentioned in this. If anyone out there that's going to ask about insurance, I can tell you, because I am an insurance guy, that when you first file a lawsuit, you usually do not include the auto insurance carrier if her boyfriend had a active auto policy. What happens now is she obviously didn't have auto insurance, so she's got to hire a lawyer and give it to a lawyer to represent her. In the case of him, if he had a car insurance policy in force, he is going to send this summons to the car insurance company, and the car insurance company is going to hire an attorney that will represent him and the insurance company. The problem, again, and this is
only apply if she's on his insurance. If she's not on his insurance?
No. Okay. I mean, look, if you came to New York and I said, hey, Mish, you know, you could use my car, go to the store, and you take it out all day.
You can't do that in Chicago. No, you have to have, so even with our kids, you know, when our kids want to drive our car, we have to have them on our insurance. We have to pay extra to have other drivers on our insurance.
But if you let someone use the car once in a while.
Okay.
That's nothing wrong with that. But The thing that's gonna, the thing that I'm curious about as an insurance guy is, I'm very curious to see what this insurance company is willing to handle in this case, because if it comes out that she had no license, said all her driving privileges were gone, and they see all of, you know, her background, and then him with the implied usage. And he's, like I said, I doubt he's going to go to the cops and say, look, I told her not to use the vehicle. She wasn't allowed to use the vehicle. I was sleeping and she took the vehicle without my consent. That's criminal charges. And if that is not part of the arrest, then you know he did not go along with that with police. And if he doesn't go along with that, there's a possibility his car insurance carrier is going to say, look, when you purchase a car insurance policy, there is an agreement between the policyholder and the insurance company that you in return are truthful in your, you know, your application, and you're supposed to, you know, be responsible as well. And if you turn around and give the keys to someone who you know has no license and has a history of DUI, and then that person has a DUI accident, that insurance company is probably going to try to find some legal way to turn around and say the insurance policy was void. And then if they determine the insurance policy is void, number one, they won't cover the car accident. Number two, they'll give him his money back for the insurance policy. So even if he had the insurance policy for 11 months and they say, look, you know, because of this, the policy is null and void, they'll give him the whole 11 months worth of insurance back and you're on your own. So it is a absolute mess, and unfortunately it's just beginning, because once everything is signed off on as far as her results of her blood alcohol content, that is when, you know, everything goes down. More than likely, Florida will give her the opportunity to turn herself in if they do file criminal charges. And I got to say that to be protective of me, because, you know, we can't jump the gun. We're not TMZ. We're not going to, you know, but everything that I have and what I have seen, you know, it's just a matter of time now. And it's sad and it's terrible. And unfortunately, you know, me, you, a lot of people out there talked about it. You know, this was going to end in tragedy, and it ended in tragedy. So
yeah,
it sucks. So that is what we have right now. So once the next step comes, which is going to happen any day, the fact that the family of the deceased went and filed this now and made that claim, they have information. So now it just needs to be notarized, signed off on, and then formal charges will be filed, and then she'll get a lawyer, you know, go down to Florida, turn herself in, and then, you know, it goes from there. So, you know, I know it wasn't the most professional explanation, but, you know, we're just two wild and crazy lonely guys. So.
Right.
I know. Anyway, Raw tonight.
What do you think is going to happen to her? Do you think she's going to get the book thrown at her?
Yeah, I think she's going to get. This is the time I honestly think she's. What?
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I honestly think she's going to get at least 10 years in jail. She's going to be sued, and I don't know what kind of assets that she has. I know a few people today were like, oh, she could set up a quick LLC and try to put everything in the LLC. No, it's not going to happen. Whatever she has, I mean, it's going to be pretty much gone. You know, look, I have heard a lot of things about the boyfriend, and none of it is good. I'm not going to say anything about this boyfriend. Do I think he could be criminally charged?
Is this the same one she was fighting with in January?
I believe so, yeah. I believe so. Okay. Yeah. It's never coming out.
It's possible? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you think that it's possible that the family goes after the state for all the previous DUIs that she was actually back on the road? Is there a case with that? Because I've heard people rumbling about that, too, that she has, that the daughter may actually have a case against the state, considering all the DUIs and the fact that even in February, she was busted with no license and everything else like that, and she was still on the road even after all the DWIs, DUIs.
the state.
So, like, is there a possibility that the state could be liable for that, even though it's taking place in Florida and New Jersey?
Probably not, because the state has no idea. Look, if it was her own vehicle, you know, I don't even think that way. The state has no idea that she's getting behind the wheel. You know, they can't monitor 24/7, 365. Unfortunately, the family of the deceased can't turn around and say New Jersey should have been more stern with her, or, you know, somebody should have known something. You know, that's assumption. And
so yeah. How does that work? How does she get away with six prior DUIs? Obviously not completely get away with, because she did do time. But how does she get away with six DUIs and still have the ability to drive on the road, still have a license? Like,
I don't think she has a license.
She had her license revoked, but she was driving in January. Before even February came around, she was driving in January.
Right.
So it's like, how in the hell did she do that? Fake license?
No. If she didn't have a license, you know, that's the state.
So she was just not driving with a license since she came out of prison.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I'm asking you. Do you think that's what it is?
I think she doesn't have a license, and I think she's driving at her own risk. I think she's driving at her own risk. She can't rent a car. She was using the boyfriend's car. And, you know, like I said, I don't think the boyfriend will be charged with anything criminally. That would surprise the hell out of me. But he will be included in his lawsuit. And honestly, you know, look, it sounds technical, but it's not that easy. I mean, even though that relationship is toxic, I'm sure that he really does care about her. And, you know, I think the last thing that he would probably want to do is tell the cops, look, arrest her. I gave her no permission to use my vehicle. You know, like, that's pretty rough, you know, because I've seen it from customers in my office where a family member uses a vehicle and gets into some type of accident or something. And then the parent says, you are not using my car anymore. And if you use it again and something happens, I'm going to tell the cops, I did not give you permission. And I have seen a few fathers in Howard Beach tell the cops, I did not give permission to my son. And the son got arrested. Imagine that. That's hardcore, you know, but she is in, you know, I defended her, you know, as much as I could. You can't defend this. You can't. You know, the only thing, like I said, I don't mean to sound morbid, but we tell like how we feel. I put myself in that situation, and I just think to myself, after all of the chances I've been given, now I have killed someone, and now I'm facing 10, 20 years in jail. You know, I don't know if I would just go to Florida and turn myself in. You know, I'm not going to say what I, you know, think I would do, but I just hope this doesn't turn into something else. You know,
how did they let her out after there was a clear, you know, manslaughter, vehicular manslaughter charge on her? Yeah, I don't understand that.
At the time, they had no proof. You know, they thought something was up. You know, she had to go to the hospital. They released her. Like I said, some states are really, really screwy. You know, you and I over the years have done our share talking about the legal system in Florida. Florida is a little bit fucked up with their stuff. But there is a chain of command and a big process that's involved to get to that step. And believe me when I tell you, that family of the deceased, the DA, police, everybody that is involved with this case, they want to make sure that it is airtight, that they didn't take any shortcuts, they didn't make any mistakes, and they didn't leave anything out. Because the last thing I think anybody would want is for her to get off on a technicality.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Sonny might run?
Like I said, if it was me, I don't know if I would turn myself in. Because I know I'm facing 10 to 20 years in jail. I know already most of the stuff that I own is going to be gone. You know, I'm going to lose everything. I don't ever want to feel that way. And it's a shame, because this did not have to happen. This didn't need to happen. And you would think at minimum, if she was going to get caught using a vehicle, especially after everything she's gone through, you would think you would at least, at minimum, eliminate alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, hey, accidents do happen. You know, and like I said, the last time we talked about it, I talked about the time of day and it was hazy. And when the sun starts to set, that is the most dangerous part of the day to drive. I wasn't putting an excuse as far as why the accident happened. I'm giving you the details. And if that ended up being what it was, you know, sure, she shouldn't have been on the road, but at least there was an alcohol or drugs or some type of impairment other than, you know, the sun. But here now it's now just a matter of time that it's going to come out. And like I said, you know, I feel bad for her. I mean, you know, she's got to pay the price.
Really? I only feel bad for the family that lost their father.
I feel bad for everybody.
I really don't feel bad at all for Sonny.
I feel
Sonny
bad.
Did this to herself. Sonny had so many chances, DT. The fact that you're even wasting any time pitying her.
Oh, no, I don't pity. Itself. I don't pity. I mean, like I said, look, if I still supported her, I probably wouldn't even cover it. Because that's what a lot of people do online. When they support a Fed, a company, a person, they seem to go away on vacation when the news comes out and then they disappear. And then when they come back and it's a non-story, then they might mention it in passing. No, no, she deserves everything that she gets right now, just as a human being. You know, I mean, you just, I don't want to get religious here because I'm not a religious guy, but you just, you have... You feel bad, you know, that someone had, you know, so much. Every time I met her, she was wonderful. And I have friends that are good friends with her. And you know, you feel bad when you see someone who entertained us as a wrestling fan, as wrestling fans, who had so many, you know, opportunities. And you're just sitting there and you're just blowing it and blowing it and blowing it and blowing it and blowing it. It's like, man, you know, she got 9 lives. And she used them all up. You know, like you can't, you've kind of just feel sorry for the person. That's how I feel. You know, I feel sorry for her because she's done. I hate to say it like that, but she is done. She's done. So to be continued, everybody, to be continued. So, all right. A couple other tidbits of news. We might as well get them out of the way. Before we just get into Raw, and we're just going to go over it quickly. There's really no reason to get into every little detail, but something broke tonight about Kushida, no longer in WWE. Look, I know people are going to clickbait it. They're going to say he quit, he walked out, he got fed up, he's sick of jacket time, sick of NXT 2.0. The fact is, his contract expired. That is the deal. His contract expired. They have not come to terms on a new deal. So as of now, Kushida is no longer under WWE contract. I'm not going to get into the Triple H interview that just came out today, the real detailed one, but I'll probably do it Thursday or maybe we'll save it for next week. But Triple H really, you know, puts the nail in the coffin of every person who claimed that WWE was erasing his legacy. There was, you know, treating him like crap and taking everything. He literally just puts it out there that they made this concerted effort to go back to technically being a wrestling school. You know, and the thing is, you know, do you pay that kind of money to someone like Kushida or Adam Cole or anybody else when your goal is a wrestling school? You know, I mean, everybody talks about all the people that were let go but WWE. But you got to also think to yourself, too, when you see all these people signed in AEW and then you realize that one person has only wrestled 3 times in a matter of 6 months, someone else hasn't even had a singles match yet, and they've been under contract for a couple of months, you start adding all these people up together and you say to yourself, wow, if that was WWE, that person would have wrestled 4 to 6 times in the first month. Some people are wrestling 6 times in a year. So when you talk about, you know, the way you spend money, you know, are you going to spend big time money on a contract for a wrestling school? You know, so, you know, we'll get more information.
Not unless you're a trainer, I guess, at that best, you know. So.
Yeah. Some good news for everybody that wants to check it out. I believe it's going to air on Friday on Peacock. WWE is bringing back Table for 3. And the first table will be seated by Chad Gable, Otis, and Kurt Angle. So I'm looking forward to that.
I really am too. I mean, it's it'll be interesting to see the stories and see how many times they talk about the comparisons of them being the new version of the world's greatest tag team, and obviously the connections, you know, through the Olympics and collegiate athletes and such. So
yeah,
kind of looking forward to that. I wish it would have a table for five, bring back Haas and Benjamin for a minute too. You know,
what? You never know. I mean, right. I think Charlie Haas would come back for just a table for three. I mean, I'm sure he wish he would do a little bit more with WWE, but why not? I think there's a lot of old school fans like you and I, and a lot out there that would love to see that. So sure. That's a possibility.
Table for six, bring back Jason Jordan.
Yeah. Rent out the whole place. Have like a little like the catering whole, thing. I would
do Angle family. Yeah.
Yeah.
They can keep carrying. So.
Yeah. There's a new podcast coming out. I know a lot of people found out about it today. I'm pretty excited about it. William Regal will be launching his own podcast. It's amazing that he's got all these five-star reviews yet. Not one episode has been released, but The Gentleman Villain. That will be the podcast. It will be on iTunes and other outlets. It comes out in a couple of weeks, and William Regal will now have his own podcast.
That'll be interesting. He's a good talker. I can only imagine what kind of stories he has and what kind of insights he can give us. It's kind of exciting because it's been a while since there's been, you know, a wrestler that's put out a new podcast that you really looked forward to because of what they know and where they've been. Regal is one of those guys that probably has a plethora of stories to share. Kind of forward to man. It. Is it going to just be Regal and a straight man, a host? Or is it going to be like a guest spot, like what Colt used to do?
That's a good question. I expect him to have a co-host because for a lot of people that don't realize it, you have a lot of legends in wrestling that are doing podcasts. You will see many times they will have a co-host, and many times the co-host is not somebody like legendary in wrestling also. The fact of the matter is the reason why they have these co-hosts is because technically these wrestlers can't do all this on their own. So they will hire, you know, a particular person who is experienced in doing podcasting, and they will ask them to be a co-host so they can actually handle the technical, the upload, the recording, the, you know, the preparation. So, you know, a lot of those wrestlers out there that you watch, if they don't have a co-host doing all that stuff, there's no podcast, you know, so...
Right.
I that's a good point, Mish. I would think William Regal is going to have a co-host. He's gotta have somebody in the background doing all that legwork. If Regal,
well, a producer is different than a co-host, but
yeah. Well, a producer at minimum. But I would think even if he starts, I'm not saying he's going to do it live. I don't think he's going to start off doing it live. But if he starts going live and there's some interaction there, I would think that probably he's going to need somebody with a little bit of assistance live on air. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Very good.
Tony, I agree with you. Steve Austin's pretty damn good at it. Steve Austin does a lot of his stuff hands-on, but he is so much more professional. You have professional people working in the background. So,
right.
I want to give a shout-out to Adam Baum, because he sent this to me, and I ordered a couple of them early in the year, and I haven't gotten them yet. They haven't been released yet, but they are sold out. And he sent this to me, and he's like, DT, he says, I want you guys to have the first one before it's been released, before it's been shipped out to everyone. So this, and the reason why I'm holding it with my finger is because the plastic came off a little bit. But I have to re-glue it. But I tell you, you know, Cella Toys did a pretty damn awesome job with this one. So this
is, it looks good.
Yeah.
Does it glow in the dark?
I don't know if it glows in the dark. You know, I haven't checked it yet. I can't turn the lights off here. I don't think it glows in the dark.
Fair enough. It looks like that color of yellow green that glows in the dark, you know.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't say that it glows in the dark on here, but
I think he had another doll, didn't he? Like another figure before that did glow in the dark.
Yeah, I have it somewhere, but I never like put it like in a light area just to check it out when it glows in the dark. But
right.
I tell you, you know, I told him this privately, and I'll say it here publicly too. You know, because he does tune into all the shows, and sometimes you see him in the, you know, comments, posting stuff. It is awesome. And I say this not because, you know, we became friendly, but it is awesome after 20 years to see this much fan appreciation and a young generation that never grew up with Adam Bomb. Adam Bomb was your favorite growing up. But yeah. So to see all of these young wrestling fans that weren't fans when Adam Bomb was around, when Chronic was around, Brian Clark, you know, himself, you know, it's awesome to see that many people who are into, you know, him now after all of these years. Because you think back even 5 years ago and, you know, you bring up the name Brian Clark and you really didn't hear much. You know, you see a little thing here and there, but now, you know, he's freaking everywhere. And I think that's awesome, man.
I think for a while, didn't he run a gym, run a couple of gyms and stuff like that? I think he was really big into the bodybuilding.
Yeah.
Maybe not the scene, but I was pretty sure that he had gyms.
Yeah. It's so, just for the wrestling side of it. Like, you didn't hear his name come out all that much.
Right.
It's nice to see what's going on now. So, shout out to Austin Nance. Happy 15 months being a channel member, my friend. All right. Raw tonight. What did they call it? A commitment ceremony? They didn't use the term wedding. They said commitment ceremonies. Double the commitment ceremony, Mish, quadruple the 24/7 title changes. We ended up.
Yes.
What did you think about this?
It was hilarious. It was just dumb. It was dumb, but it was funny. I mean, R-Truth is funny. He had some good zingers in there. The actual part that they were trying to make funny with the wedding itself wasn't funny. Seeing Tozawa just jump all the way up to Mina's skirt and get her for the pin was pretty funny. You know, I don't know, man. It was stupid humor. It was cringe humor, yeah. You know, but yeah, it was fine, man.
Why do you think
I thought it was funny? R-Truth making fun of the fact that Tamina and Dana were about to kiss or whatever. And he's like, I don't even know if that's PG. And I was like, oh, okay. That's where we're going tonight.
The
fact that it was a 24/7 title thing, like, I don't think anybody was surprised that this whole thing was a sham, but it was a sham.
Well, you know, technically, if we keep the storyline, you know, Dexter Lumis is married to Indy Hartwell. Tozawa is committed, I guess you could say it that way, to Tamina Snuka, and Reggie is committed to Dana Brooke. Do you think, I brought this up last week, do you think these two ceremonies were done as a satire of Carmella and Alexa Bliss's weddings?
I don't know. That'd be a weird shot to take. I mean, Carmella's still pretty active. You know, Alexa Bliss is doing her own thing, but Carmella's still pretty active in the company. Why would the company have anything against that? Matter of fact, I think there was a lot of WWE people at Carmella's wedding. I know Bliss's wedding had more like actors and actresses and musicians, and she had her band, what was it called? Bowling for Soup.
Yeah.
You know, so like her thing was different. It was definitely a lot more focused on people that Bliss knows that are outside of wrestling. Where Carmella's wedding was totally about a lot of people in WWE.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they were mocking the weddings. I'm just saying that because they had two high-profile weddings actually go down in WWE, they decide to have a little bit of lighthearted fun and have two of their own weddings by doing this with Dana Brooke and Reggie and Tozawa and Tamina. So, like I said, they weren't making fun. I think people are misunderstanding what I'm saying. I think because of the two high-profile weddings that went down, maybe they want to have a little fun and say, hey, let's have two weddings also. And they just had some fun with it. So for the record tonight, because I wrote it all down, so as a result, after the commitment ceremonies were over, and it was funny, if anybody missed it, they teased at one point where R-Truth, the certified, what did he call himself? The certified managing guy. If anybody objected, speak now. And Tamina objected. And what she did was she gave Tozawa to Dana, and she took Reggie. And Dana's like, I don't want that. And then R-Truth again is like, if anybody objects. So then Tamina takes Reggie and puts Tozawa with Reggie, and she goes over to Dana. And right. They were holding hands for a minute. I think everybody expected Tamina and Dana to have a kiss. And then Tamina changed her mind, and then she went back to Tozawa. But as a result, right. Like you said, they all decided to take advantage of each other. I guess this was their reward tonight for doing the ceremonies, because Reggie pinned Dana Brooke to become the 24/7 champion. Tamina then pinned Reggie to become the 24/7 champion. Tozawa pinned Tamina to become the 24/7 champion. And then Dana Brooke pinned Tozawa to become the 24/7 champion. And then Dana Brooke and Reggie ran away.
A big nothing burger.
I know.
Big nothing burger of a segment.
Yes.
That's why I liked it, because it was just a waste of time.
Well, another segment that I got to be honest with you, I don't know, man. I thought it fell a lot flatter than it should have. And that was the lie detector test with Ezekiel, Kevin Owens, and Chad Gable. I thought Chad Gable was awesome in this segment, but it didn't seem like the crowd was having as much fun as they should have. I thought, you know, maybe they thought that the machine wasn't working properly, and they asked Kevin Owens a couple of specific questions, and Kevin Owens fails the lie detector test. But,
sure,
you know, they're asking Ezekiel questions. There's no sound effects. You know, Chad is just looking at the computer like he's telling the truth. You know, are you Ezekiel Elias's younger brother? Yes, I am. He's telling the truth. Are you Elias? No, I am not. He's telling the truth. And what ends up happening is Kevin Owens gets pissed off. Kevin Owens starts confronting Elias, and he's throwing some threats to Elias. You know, tell the truth or else. And Elias is like, or else what? And then Kevin Owens goes to leave the ring again, and then Chad Gable attacks Elias. We get an impromptu one-on-one match. Crowd didn't seem like they were into it at all. And then it ends up with a DQ victory for Ezekiel because Otis comes in. So is this the segue Alpha Academy out of the tag team picture for a little while?
I don't know if I got that feeling at all. They felt like they were just more along the lines of backup for Kevin Owens. You know, it felt like Kevin Owens was bridging a new friendship between, with Otis and Gable. So that's the kind of feel that I got. I don't know if I saw, you know, Gable and Otis breaking up.
No, I didn't say anything about them breaking up. I'm saying them doing just some one-on-one matches here and there, mingling them with Ezekiel, because look, you know, we've talked about it for a few weeks now.
Well, don't you think it's going to eventually end up with Ezekiel and Elias versus Gable?
They'll tease that, but it obviously can't happen.
Right. It
would be funny if they did a...
I thought that's the direction it was going to go eventually, was that eventually we're going to have an Ezekiel and Elias match, a tag match with both of them.
Well, Ezekiel was on Pat McAfee, and Pat McAfee is like, when's the last time you saw Elias? He's like, I haven't seen him in a couple of months. You know, so they're not playing off that he still talks to Elias. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Kevin Owens just was a challenge. You know, you go get Elias and we'll have a tag team match or something like that. But like I said, unless it's like a pre-recorded, you know, some type of, you know, choreographed, you know, special effects. Yeah, that's not going to happen. But it's just the tag team division is so goddamn awful right now. It blows me away coming out of WrestleMania, and I never realized how pathetic the tag team division is in all of WWE, because we joked right after WrestleMania, like, how many more times can we see the Street Profits and RK-Bro? And they fucking did the match again today. Yeah. And it's like all the tag teams are just either stuck in the mud or they have split up. And now they're unifying the titles for a few months. because there is no strong tag team division on either Raw or SmackDown. So they're going to keep the titles unified until a tag team that is not named New Day, that is not named RK-Bro, if they lose it, and all signs point to that, they're going to wait until somebody catches fire, and then that's when you will see the titles go back to separate brands. But in the process, it just feels like, okay, you know, now we're probably going to see Ezekiel versus Otis next week, and then the week after is the go-home, you know, to Backlash, and it just feels like, man, the tag team division suddenly is horrible.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, it's been like that for a while, so it's not really new.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think we realized how bad it was until after WrestleMania is over. Because now it feels like that the Raw tag team division consists of three teams, even though it's a little more. And even SmackDown, they even teased on SmackDown, they teased Garza and Carrillo. They were yelling at each other after Carrillo lost his match. They were together for the wedding thing today, but, you know, if that team splits up as well, and Viking Raiders are not doing all that good either, so.
No.
All right. We finally got the heel turn by Rhea Ripley. Tonight, as we expected, Sasha Banks and Naomi retained the tag titles, defeating Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan. After the match is over, Rhea Ripley is just pissed off. Liv is trying to calm things down. And, you know, at one point, like, Rhea's like, I'm done. She walks away and then she stops. Then she turns around and she says, I'm done again. And then Rhea just snaps and she attacks Liv Morgan, leaves her laying, and now we continue what we've been saying. Do you think Rhea Ripley will be added to Edge and Damian Priest?
Yes.
I hope so. I think she would look perfect in that group.
Yeah, she fits the bill. She looks like she's going to be part of the new Edge squad, the new Edge Lords, Edge Heads, whatever you want to call it, the new Ministry of Darkness. It's not even the Ministry of Darkness. It's some weird, like, pseudo-gothy thing. But it doesn't feel like the Ministry of Darkness. So I don't know if there's any correlation there. It should be, but I digress.
The way Edge was talking in his promo today, it seemed like Edge was, he brought up the Ministry. He brought up the Brood. Right. And this seems like the next, you know, like the next step. It's like the like a hybrid of everything. That's what it kind of feels like. But Damian Priest, 2 weeks, has found his stride as far as the way he talks, the way he looks, the dark lighting, everything.
God, I'm so glad they got rid of the unstable Damian Priest. That was just awful.
Yeah.
So.
And he's got that deep voice.
Right.
That very dark, deep voice.
He's clear. He's got the look for it. He looks menacing. It fits him perfectly.
Yeah. Veer Mahan squashing someone by the name of Jeff Brooks. This was the Lars moment that I feared. This felt like Lars. I'm sorry, it felt like Lars. I support Lars. I mean, it's not in wrestling anymore right now, but this felt like that. I'm not going to lie. I mean, after he wins the match and he continues attacking Jeff Brooks and all, the agents are trying to break it up and everything. There was so much piped in booze. I don't know. I'm a little nervous about this. I don't think the fans really want to see him just squashing nobodies. I think Ray, there was COVID protocol last week. We heard something with Ray. We don't know for sure, but we believe there was. Interesting that he wasn't brought back tonight, but I would think Ray has to return next week to confront Veer.
That's probably the direction they're going to go. I mean, what are they going to do? Feed him Dominic again?
Oh, no.
Veer is an interesting character because they waited so long to debut this guy, and he literally is just a 2D wrestler. That's all he is. He's so generic. We don't even know why he's out there just maiming people. Just cause. You know, he falls more in line with like an Umaga, but at least Umaga had Armando Estrada to actually speak for him and was like an over the top manager and everything else like that. Veer, even though he can speak and he does this weird choppy promo, I don't know. If you want him to go out there as like this savage killer, you need a handler. He needs a handler. Yeah, something.
I agree. You know, we could go off topic for a second. I have talked about this to death. I talked about it Saturday. I talked about it Sunday. So I'm going to give you the floor. And I am curious, how do you feel about LA Knight managing Mace?
Oh, it caught me by surprise. I was pretty happy to actually see it. I thought he was, you know, very classic manager, too. He didn't come off as his own thing. Like, well, I mean, even bringing up a guy like Armando Estrada, who is like way over the top, you know, like his own type of character. LA Knight kind of felt like a throwback. I got a little bit of a little Paulie out of it, a little bit of Slick. There's a few other people that he was emulating, you know. But yeah, no, I was very surprised. I was beyond surprised that WWE would just pluck him for a manager.
Yeah.
Because it seems like other than MVP, most managers and MVP aren't a real thing, right, especially not for a very long time, you know? Yeah. It's like one of those aspects of wrestling that's kind of disappeared over the years. So, yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, I didn't really see social media on SmackDown when he was out there with Mace, but, I mean, were they positive about it? Were they negative about it?
The initial reaction was mostly negative. I think once, because I actually posted on my Twitter, I posted the promo that LA Knight cut, and I posted the match that he had with Eric. And I think once everybody, like, paid attention to promo, and I think here's the, you know, I'll say this, you know, and here's the thing where, like I say, you know, a lot of people who are very deceptive in how they report things, whether it's print or voice or video, I think this is a classic example of it. Because for the last couple of weeks with the rumors of LA Knight that WWE wanted him as a manager, a lot of the usual suspects online were just saying, like, this fucking guy could still go. Why are they going to put him as a manager? And all of them implied that he wasn't going to wrestle anymore. When I looked into it, you know, and look, it's proved, because on Friday, I went on Twitter and I wrote one sentence because I asked someone who I talked to that actually works within WWE. I said, you know, are they planning to have him wrestle? And the answer back was, oh, yeah, of course. So all I did was write one sentence on Twitter. And what that was LA Knight will also wrestle besides managing.
Right.
And about 10 people liked it. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Everybody just wanted to stick with, oh, they're going to waste him as a fucking manager and this and that. But meanwhile, you think back to Piper and you think back to others who wrestled and managed.
Scotty Flamingo became Raven.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like,
we should want this.
Right, right.
We should want it. So I'm glad, because I think once people heard his promo and seen Mace out there, a lot almost everybody I talked to warmed up on it. The big complaint, and this is deserving, the big complaint is Knight model management. You know, like the thing is that, you know, Mace is like a model. So, you know, yeah, that's kind of corny. But I also think, you know, how else do you associate Mace with LA Knight? Why would, you know what I mean? So they had to make it gimmicky. You know, as long as it's good, I don't care. So, all right. Tonight we also had, well, we talked about Ezekiel beating Chad Gable by DQ. We had, once again, the Street Profits taking on RK-Bro. This time around, they did what you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, teasing a little bit of heel maneuvers. What they did was, during the match, the Usos' music played, and RK-Bro got a little distracted, but they didn't come out. And the next thing you know, Street Profits hit their finisher on Riddle and get the pin. And then they walk up the rampway and, you know, Street Profits get on the mic and they said, you know, they admitted that they were the ones that had WWE cue up the Usos music. You know, so I guess to say, like, you know, they're not the only tag team you should be worried about right now.
Right.
But, man, I am so tired of seeing RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy and the Street Profits. And that sucks because they have great matches. But it's right. too much. I mean, the amount of matches they've had in the last 3-4 months, it's too much.
Right. Well, there's not much else they can do. Yeah. There's nobody else that's coming up to take the storm. Although, man, oh, man, did they show Pretty Deadly like 1,000 times tonight.
Yeah. Huh? When we did the NXT watch party last week, everybody that was there, I actually called it. I said, it's going to come down to the Creed Brothers and Pretty Deadly. And I said early in the night, I said, you know, I got this bad feeling that they're going to put it on Pretty Deadly. I didn't want to be right, but you know, that's a classic case of what they did with, who did they do it with back then? What was the French team? The French team, Rene Dupree. No, Rene Dupree and Rob Conway.
La Resistance.
La Resistance. They did that with La Resistance. They gave them the belts in an attempt to get them over instead of giving right. them the belts because they are over. And that's what they did with Pretty Deadly. They put the belts on them in an attempt to instantly get them over. And look, I've seen some of their work in NXT UK. They're actually pretty good. You know, how it'll interpret through the States, we'll see. We will see. Two other matches that went down tonight. Austin Theory beating Finn Balor to become the United States champion. We opened up the show talking about that. Again, I don't know why anybody was surprised. I mean, after all the matches that Balor had with Finn, you know, it just felt like they were giving him the belt. After WrestleMania, after everything that they have done, plus if WWE goes that route and considers putting Finn Balor in the group with Edge and Damian Priest, do it without the title.
Right.
But I don't buy that Finn Balor is buried, dead. You know, it's just, you know, they don't have nothing to do. You know, they're giving Austin Theory a little bit of a rub. You could see how important it was after he won the match. All the heels came out. They put him on his shoulder. Kind of a little reminiscent. What was it, Bret Hart, when they put on his shoulders back then?
Yeah.
So, you know, but those were the baby faces. Right. You know, it was interesting. And then, like you said, Mr. McMahon came out. So this felt like it was a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I mean, they dusted off T-Bar for a second, too. I saw him out there. It was all right. It's what you expected. I was happy to see Vince out there. It lays credence to it. And, of course, he went up there to take more selfies with them, which I thought was kind of funny still. It's funny thinking of Vince McMahon and selfies. I don't know why. But,
yeah. Speaking of T-Bar, he lost a main event match tonight. He lost to Apollo Crews. And the other main event match that went down, Tommaso Ciampa beat Cedric Alexander. So those are your main event matches tonight. And the final match for tonight, Cody Rhodes beating Kevin Owens. Now, when they opened up Raw tonight, Seth Rollins came out doing what he does. He wants to bring Cody out there as well. It felt like a repeat of last week, you know, because the challenge was already made for WrestleMania Backlash. Seth Rollins last week already talked about how, you know, it was unfair that he didn't know who his opponent was at Mania.
Right.
So they kind of repeated some of that again. You know, Cody, you know, putting over Buffalo numerous times. And, you know, tonight Seth Rollins felt a lot more as a heel than he's been recently. But what ends up happening is Seth Rollins has got a challenge for Cody. Hey,
right?
I didn't know who my opponent was at WrestleMania. So how's about tonight, Cody, you wrestle in the main event, but you don't know who your opponent is going to be, and I get to pick the person. And Cody's like, no problem. It ends up being Kevin Owens. There's been a lot of talk, and Cornette talked about it last week. There's been a lot of talk that Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens want to work a extended program with each other. Tonight was a little tease of it. But what ends up happening is brawling outside the ring, inside the ring. You know, it wasn't pay-per-view quality, but it was definitely worthy of a Raw main event. Seth Rollins comes out towards the end of the match, and Seth Rollins is getting a little bit nervous that Kevin Owens can't put Cody away. And then what ends up happening is about 2 or 3 minutes before we go off the air, Kevin Owens, you know, can't put away Seth Rollins. And Kevin Owens gets knocked outside the ring by Cody. And the referee is counting to 10. And Seth Rollins is trying to get Kevin Owens to get back in the ring. And you hear Seth Rollins say, "Get your fat ass back in the ring." He, you know, he's making fun of him. And Kevin Owens is like, "What did you say?" And Seth Rollins is like, "Get your fat ass back in the ring." So when the referee got to 8, Kevin Owens is like, "This is your problem. This is your match." And Kevin Owens walked out. Count out victory. Something that Cody's not used to, you know, from his AEW days. But Cody beats Kevin Owens by count out. And then Seth Rollins wonders why Kevin Owens just walked off at the very end. But it was a really good match. I mean, I would love to see an extended program. I mean, their promo in the beginning, Seth and Cody, you know, like I said, it just felt like a lot of repetitive. But, you know, you could see Cody changing a little bit. You know, you don't have these, like, really, the first night was the really emotional speech and everything. But now it's more of just, you know, Gaga playing up to the crowd, you know, is Cody Rhodes the better man, and the crowd is going nuts. But I will tell you, and I think a lot of people don't want to admit it, that are very bitter that he left AEW, but I think WWE for the first 3 weeks, I think that they have used Cody the best they possibly could. I felt bad for The Miz last week. The Miz has a pretty damn good resume. And people were downplaying it, you know, that this was like a huge step down that Cody has taken on The Miz. I thought that was so wrong.
It's a lot of hype, though, right now, too. I mean, give it some time. I'm not going to play anything against Cody right now. You're right. He's doing gangbusters in WWE. He's doing the right thing. And the fans are very receptive to him. They like the way that he talks. I mean, even the way that he was delivering the promo tonight, you know, a belt holds up your pants, like, you know, from last week and stuff. It's refreshing. It's refreshing to hear Cody talk this way in a company that's pretty filtered, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, even when he was talking about, like, "Oh, you're a piece of nope, I didn't say it." Like, it's things like that that are going to make him popular with the audience, because he's not coming in as another WWE guy. I think people still feel like he's an infiltrator. He doesn't present himself as a WWE guy. He presents himself as a guy who came from the outside. And WWE is doing a good job of keeping that going with Miz, with Seth Rollins. So I'm not sure how long the hype train is going to last. Yeah. But as long as fans still view him as an outsider, I think that'll be a feather in his cap.
Yeah. We had three segments that we could talk about. Well, first off, we were talking about Edge and Damian Priest earlier. Edge challenges AJ Styles to a rematch for WrestleMania Backlash. Hence, as we've been saying the last 2 weeks, the reason why they call it WrestleMania Backlash now, a lot of it is, you know, fallout from WrestleMania.
Right.
AJ Styles agrees to the rematch. He's being interviewed by Megan Morant. And then the lights start flickering. They go out for a few seconds. They come back on. And Edge and Damian Priest beat the living shit out of AJ Styles. Good visual in the locker room.
Right.
So they will be having a match at WrestleMania Backlash. Interesting. Very interesting. Sonya Deville. Now, this is not... It was never officially added as a match for WrestleMania Backlash. But today, Sonya Deville comes out, cuts a promo, getting some legit heat from the fans. That was not all piped in booze tonight, but she's explaining why she did what she did. Bianca Belair comes out, and the next thing we know, they're going to have the match next week instead of the premium live event. They're going to do it next week on Raw in Bianca Belair's hometown, which obviously this will give her extra cheers. But Sonya Deville, because she's management, she's telling Bianca, you can't put your hands on me. And then at one point, Bianca gets so pissed off at Sonya Deville, she picks her up, almost like fireman's carry, but doesn't do anything. Sonya's like, just put me down, I'll have you fired, suspended, fined, you'll lose your title. So Bianca pulls her down, and then later on, Adam Pearce is in the back with Sonya Deville, and Sonya Deville is pissed off. Adam Pearce is saying that Sonya Deville, this was the storyline I told all of you a couple of months ago, that Sonya Deville ultimately, she will overstep her bounds and WWE management will review her situation and she'll probably be relieved of her GM duties.
Right.
So she wants Bianca to have the EST of fines, the biggest fine of any women, any wrestler. And it ends up that Bianca shows up and she's ready to pay her fine. And Sonya's like, look, this is between me and Adam. Get out of here. And Adam takes the fine from Bianca Belair and it's $1. Gave me Trading Places vibes. $1. And Sonya Deville is pissed off. Her fine was $1. So Adam Pearce fined Bianca Belair $1.
I mean, obviously we're going to have the blow-off between Sonya and Bianca coming up. I don't know. Yeah, it looks like they're going to take her off of, you know, her authority position. You think she gets a regular role back on the roster in the women's roster?
Yeah, she should. I think it's time. I think after everything that happened with her, you know, they gave her the GM to ease her back in, but she wants to be in the ring. And she's good. You know, she's not bad in the ring. So, you know, ultimately, I think this brings her back as a full-time wrestler. And look, Alexa Bliss will be back soon, and Sonya Deville becomes a full-time wrestler again. Now you start feeling like, okay, I could see, you know, the women's division picking up a little bit. I just wonder if we're going to get the return of Asuka next week, or is this match going to end in some type of clusterfuck and then a rematch goes on at WrestleMania Backlash? Maybe Becky shows up next week. I think Becky Lynch, if anybody out there has not paid attention to her promos, she's been cutting on Twitter before house shows and after house shows. You got to go out of your way and watch them. She's practicing the psycho bitch. She's practicing looking disheveled, looking like she has totally lost her noodles. She is acting all crazy, and she is killing it. She is killing it. I'm telling you. So maybe this sparks her return next week. Because you know they have to have a rematch. So, you know, Becky Lynch is entitled. I know they don't automatically do rematches, but people haven't realized they are. So we'll see what happens. And then the other segment we should bring up is Omos, MVP, and Bobby Lashley. I don't know how I felt about this. Basically, what happens is MVP and Omos issue a arm wrestling challenge to Bobby Lashley. And Bobby Lashley accepts it. So next week, we're going to have Omos versus Bobby Lashley in an arm wrestling match. What did Bobby Lashley, how does he keep pronouncing Omos? Does he say almost?
Yeah,
almost. I think he says almost. Like almost.
TH at the end of it.
You know, they agree to an arm wrestling match. Now, you know what's going to happen. Bobby Lashley's going to be 1 inch away from winning, and then Omos will probably attack him. And it's like how most of the arm wrestling matches go in WWE. Right. But that was pretty much Raw tonight. Looking at news, one thing I did want to let everybody know, this is pretty cool. WWE is going to be having a European tour coming up, and they're going to be in Newcastle. They're going to be in Leipzig, I believe it is, Leipzig. And this is the end of April to the beginning of May, I think May 1st. And they're advertising Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley, which is very interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if that turns into a tag team match with them teaming up with each other. You got Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks. They are going to continue RK-Bro and the Usos. I didn't see any mention of Roman Reigns. But one of the matches that they are hyping up is Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I am really looking forward to that match. I think that match would be sick. You know, who's the babyface in that match, though? Is Gunther the babyface?
It'll just be an exhibition. You don't have to always have a storyline behind it.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think an exhibition would be just fun enough to watch? And he's actually been toning up a lot lately, too, and losing a bit of his heft. So yeah. Gunther is exactly the same size as he was when he was Walter either. So. Yeah.
So Fly, you know, Gunther brought up a good point, WrestleMania week, and I agree 100% with him. He said that if his name was Gunther all along and then WWE just changed it to Walter, people would have been just as pissed off. So I think he makes a very valid point there.
Sure.
You know,
call it's an identity shift. It's almost, so the problem with it is the identity that he built up as Walter almost feels like changing his name to Gunther just negates that.
Yeah.
Like everything that he's done as Walter and Dragunov and in the UK and stuff like that, it just doesn't mean much. Imperium isn't the same person, you know, like I think that's pretty much what it is, because it's more than just a gimmick change. It's an identity change.
Yeah. So it looks like they're going to be going to the UK and Germany. So if they do that in Germany, then Gunther's got to be the babyface there.
Right.
He's got to be the babyface there. Oh, my God. I just pictured Sami Zayn with his reactions to getting chopped like that. And he'll take them because he used to take vicious chops when he was in the indie circuit. So just got two super chats, and then we're going to call it. James Campbell, are we disappointed that Truth did not leave the wedding as the 24/7 champ?
That's pretty funny. That would have been great. Honestly, and that would have been somebody that, once again, you know, people liked it when he had the belt. But Truth is amusing and entertaining no matter what. You know, like I said, the whole thing was just a giant nothing burger. There was no point to it whatsoever. It was just laughing at cringe car crash comedy. That's really what it was.
Yeah, it was a segment that I honestly look, when I did the banner for tonight, I didn't even put any screenshots of the wedding. I had no intention. That's how much I gave a shit about it. This is, for me, this is what kind of mattered for tonight. But, yeah, you kind of feel like this whole storyline is he wants his baby back, you know, and it was right there, and he could have gotten it back, but he didn't. So last night when I was wrapping up the show, a super chat came in, I think, literally like a minute or two before I ended, and I had no idea it did. So I'm going to answer it here for Dorian Moore because I felt bad after the show. I saw it. How come there's never been a Raw episode on NBC? Same reason why Saturday Night's Main Event has never been on the USA Network, as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I mean, it's Raw is on USA Network, SmackDown is on Fox, and Saturday Night's Main Event is on NBC, although... You remember when it was on Fox for a little while?
Yeah, for a short time there. They had a couple episodes or a few episodes on that, right?
I think it was the mid-90s. Might have been the early to the mid-90s. This is when, like, I think Married with Children first came around. It's probably like early to mid-90s, I would say.
Yeah.
But, that's the only reason why. I mean, those shows are... you know, contractually obligated to right now NBC more than anything else. So that's you're not going to put Raw, which is obligated to the USA Network, and put it on NBC. I'm sure WWE would love that because that's regular syndicated television. But that's the only reason why you don't ever see that. So, and someone asked earlier, was that guy tonight, Brooks, what was his name? Hold on. The one that lost to Vimahan, Jeff Brooks. And we'll bring that up in a second. Was he the first, like, enhancement talent to be stretchered out? No, I believe we had Ryback with a few times squashing enhanced talent, and then they were taken out by stretcher and by ambulance. I think, and you brought up Umaga before. I think Umaga probably has squashed some enhancement talent was carried out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if Umaga did it. I was actually thinking that, but
Charlie, I know Married with Children started in 87, but I'm saying like Married with Children was on Fox at the time that Saturday Night's Main Event was on Fox. It was somewhere around the early to mid 90s. It was somewhere around that time frame.
Sure.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was the time frame. But yeah, so that is pretty much tonight's episode, everyone. You know, like I said, I will get more information about Kushida. You know, as far as what I could find on my end, his contract is up, and that's why that he is done for now.
Speaking of contracts, no, I kid. I did want to kind of make an announcement. It's a little bit kind of on the post, but not really. You're going through a lot of wonderful changes with your channel and your show. I saw the recent episode where you talked about going on to a brand new network. By the way, congratulations for that. But I believe that probably at the end of this month, I will be retiring from Breakfast Soup.
Okay.
And I think that's for the best for everybody. And yeah, I just want to thank you for having me on as long as you have. I mean, it's been, technically since 2005.
Okay. So I was not aware of this, you know, right before you said it. Are you talking about Mondays or are you talking about Mondays and Patreon?
Well, I'll finish out the month, you know, because I mean, that's the right thing to do is even with the Patreons and stuff like that too, you know, but yeah, at the end of the month, I think I'm going to retire from Breakfast Soup.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, you know, I did not know this was coming, so, you know, I'll talk to you off about this, but, you know, yeah. Obviously, whatever you're doing, I mean, all the best to you, so.
Sure. Back at you, man. I mean, you've got a lot of positive things going for yourself, so.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you very much. Thanks to all the fans, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right. Take care. All right. Have a good night.
Peace.
All right. All right, everybody. I'm going to jet out. Yeah, I had no idea that was coming. So, you know, luckily, the good thing about it is, you know, everything that I do with Blue Wire and, you know, with Playback. And now, like I said, you know, I made a little announcement yesterday. And, you know, it's just that another network was going to be picking up the shows also. So, you know, the good thing is it just, you know what this tells me? It'll probably just, everything will be under the Don Tony Show banner. So, well, I'll tell you the truth. Like I said, this came out of nowhere. So based on what I just heard him say, that means Patreon is done as well. So, yeah, we'll be one happy gooey family, all of us. So, hey, you know, that's how things go. You know, I'll be honest with you. I probably would have wished he would have told me privately first. So, you know, and then announce it. But it is what it is. It's all good. You know, look, whatever he's doing, he's got a lot on his plate. So maybe, you know, Mondays. And look, I don't want to speculate. But I do want to say one thing. Last Monday, Mish was with his family, and I didn't know who his family members were and everything. I know he had said something with his mom, but he was with family, couldn't come on the show. And I know that quite a bunch of people on YouTube with the comments were all really going kind of hard on Mish, saying like, you know, like, you know, get rid of him. He doesn't show up. He keeps every month, two, three, you know. And I'm like, no, man, real life gets in the way. You know, he's not flaking on me. Believe me, if I thought Mish was flaking on me, then, you know, this show would never have happened in the first place. You know, I like I said, it was a little strange the night two of WrestleMania, you know, that for some reason, you know, my services were not needed. And I ended up doing a solo show, and that felt a little bit odd. But, you know, look, he's got a lot of things going on. If he feels that, you know, he needs the time for himself. And let me also say this, too. Since he said it publicly without talking to me private first, I'll say this publicly. If he thinks that you know, being on YouTube is this giant moneymaker. Tonight on Super Chats made a total of $5. When YouTube takes their percentage, that chops down to $350. When I take 30% out of that for taxes, that drops down to about $2. So, and then when you have commercials, which I only have at the beginning of the shows and the end, I make online, what, $6, $7 an episode? So if you add up 4 episodes a month, that is what, $40, $50, even if it was $100. But, you know, going on this other network, you know, if it was because I'm going on another network and, you know, if he feels that he should be, you know, getting some type of financial benefit from it, I will tell you this, you know, he does get financially taken care of on Patreon. The fact that he wants to leave Patreon also, you know, tells me that he himself probably are going to be doing a bunch of projects and he needs those days for himself. So listen, I want each and every one of you to remember what I say right now. I know Mish a very long time. And I know a lot of people who have backstabbed me and said a lot of shit behind my back. And they have no clue half the things I have seen. I could tell you with honesty, that guy is one of the most sincere people that I have ever met. And I could tell you that if he is walking away from this, he probably wants to expand himself and he needs those Mondays for himself. He needs those Tuesdays for himself. And you got to support him. You know, I mean, I got to support that. You know, if that's, why can't he do that? Like I said, I kind of wish he would have told me privately, like, dude, look, I think I'm going to step away from this. And I would have been like, hey, why? You know, like, what's going on? Like, to throw this live on the show kind of like hit me. And I'll be honest with you. I think the way this went down tonight, I think that's it. I think starting Monday, we go to the Don Tony show. I think that's what we got to do. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to feel about this. But like I said, WrestleMania Night 2 was weird because, you know, everybody loved Night 1. And, you know, Night 2 comes around and, hey, we're all doing it, right? No, it's just going to be us three. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, and now this. So, but no. I mean, look, it's done and it's done. Am I disappointed? Of course, because I love, you know, debating with him, bouncing off his shoulders. But, you know, you can't force anybody to stay around. So starting this Monday, Don Tony show, cross the board. That's it. Everything is going to be the Don Tony show going forward. So now I got to get some new artwork made up. I'm going to have to get some new intros made up. But, you know, and I apologize for my Patreon family as well, because I know a lot of us on Patreon, they love the shows that we do together. And, you know, that's going to come to a halt as well. Now, I will finish out the month with him on Patreon only because, you know, Patreon goes month to month. And I don't want anybody to feel because we're at, you know, we still got 2 weeks left in the month. You know, we don't want anybody to feel like, oh, I paid for the whole month of April and, you know, what happened to him. So Rain Entertainment is saying try to reconcile. There's nothing to reconcile. He doesn't want to be on the shows. He doesn't want to do Monday, and he obviously doesn't want to do Tuesday as well. So he does not want to be involved with my shows. You know, I don't think it has to do with money. Believe me when I tell you. Because, like I said, you know, I think that I take care of him pretty comfortable. But unfortunately, what that means is either the Patreon is going to close down as of May 1st, or, you know, we'll keep the ad-free shows going and, you know, put some other content there. I don't know. Like I said, you know, usually when you do business, you talk to people privately and, you know, you did hit me with this live on the show right now. The more I think about it, you know, if he was mad at some of you out there for last week, you know, because I thought some of you were a little hard on him. If you go on YouTube, I actually defended him numerous times. So I didn't leave him out there to dry. But, you know, I don't know. The more I see this, like, you know, like, not even tell me beforehand? I don't know. I don't know how I should feel about this right now. But one thing is for certain guys and gals, I don't skip a beat. So you have no worries as far as the content here. I go on and I keep doing my thing. But I will tell you, next Monday will be the Don Tony show. The few people out there, they know who they are, who helped me with the intros. You know, I will have them start working on some new intros. So we may be without a Monday intro for a week or two. But, you know, artwork, it's not a problem. You know, I mean, it's a matter of a couple of clicks. But, Kevon, there's nothing to talk privately about. I don't know what you he's the one that decided to tell me publicly live on the show with all of you right at the end of the show, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be on Patreon anymore. So what's there privately to talk about? Please don't go? No. You know, he's got, look, for whatever reasons he chose to do this live at the last minute, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought after all of these years, the more I think about it, you know, the least you do is you tell me privately, like, DT, look, you know, all the years we've been doing this, you know, I need to, and I'd be like, all right, cool, cool. And then prepare for the announcement. But I had no idea that this was going to be said. So, you know, look, I don't want anybody out there to be mad at the guy. He's done so much for me, and I really mean that. You know, for whatever reason that he has decided to do this, you know, good for him. You know, if he's going to branch out and do his own thing, good for him. If he wants to branch out, I mean, I see all the shows that he's doing. Good for him, you know. It's all good. I lose no sleep over this, and you know, at least I know, you know, going forward, you know, we just do our thing, just like we do on Saturdays and Mondays. In fact, you know what? This might be a blessing in disguise because the shows will probably end a little bit quicker. And I probably could ultimately bring back Wednesday. I'm not doing Wednesday this week, but maybe next week we'll bring back Wednesday Night Dynamite. You know, we'll keep Mondays mostly as a Raw recap show with a little bit of news. I don't know what happens now with Patreon starting May 1st. I'm going to leave it up to them. If they want a Patreon show to continue, I will still do one. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But as far as here, no worries, everyone. I keep doing what I do. So, Herbert, I'm not in shock. I just think, especially after 17 years knowing the guy, I would have thought, maybe a DM or a phone call. You know, the more I think of it, I'm being honest. Since he put it out here and hit me with this live without me knowing, you know, I would think a phone call or something privately would have been the right way to do it. Like, hey, DT, you know, blah, 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 blah. All right, you know, cool. You know, let me start preparing, you know, or we don't even announce it until the end of the month. But to be honest with you, since, you know, this happened this way, you know, now next Monday it'll be a solo show. You know, Patreon, I think we owe it to our Patreon family. I'm not trying to say the Patreon family is better than here, but they actually paid for the entire month of April. And I don't want anybody to feel like, because I already paid Mish and Kevin for the month of April. I'm sure they're not going to be giving money back. So we'll probably finish out the 2 weeks on Patreon. But then I got to ask our Patreons, what do you want? You know, if they want the ad-free shows and they want the Patreon show to continue, then we'll continue it. But if they're like, nah, then I'm shutting it down. But no worries, guys. No worries. It's all good. I keep doing what I'm doing. Nothing changes here. But look, the Forbidden Door will be opened again. If you did not check out the episode that I did with Joe Cronin, you really should, because a lot of people were really, really into that episode. I'm not saying that I'm going to start co-hosting a show with Joe Cronin. We don't want to start having revolving doors over here. Forbidden doors are okay, but no revolving doors. But I think I'm going to amp up the forbidden door thing a little bit more, have some more guests on, you know, to mix it up a little bit. I could tell you that I already reached out to a couple of wrestlers to see if they wanted to do something, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. But it's all good, everybody. And you know what? For everybody who is still live right now, I know, you know, a lot of people are expecting a little dirt, or maybe I'm going to get angry or something like that. But props to all of you out there that hung out for an extra 15 minutes. Because, like I said, you know, this was blindsided, obviously. And I wish, you know, I would have been told privately. I think that's the right way you do business. But, you know, he felt, you know, that this was the way to go. I don't know if it had to do with last week. I really don't know. But all I know is that it's done. And we'll be good. So here's the schedule for this week. I will be on Patreon Wednesday. We'll still do that. And then Thursday I'll be here for the Q&A. Everybody is welcome to tune in. And then we have Saturday for the Don Tony Show and Sunday. So that is the schedule this week. What I have to figure out over the next 2 weeks is what we're going to do with Patreon. Because if Patreon goes down May 1st, then that leaves Tuesday and Wednesday open. So I plan on bringing back Wednesday Night Dynamite. That is for sure. So I tell you, the more I think about this, it's only one show a week that's changing. Wednesdays are still the same. Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays are still the same. You know, but hey, you know, for anybody that feels a little bit disappointed, you know, I am. Like I said, I just getting hit blindsided, you know, but it is what it is. I just hope that this was done because he wants to expand and do his own shows maybe on Mondays and Tuesdays or Mondays and Wednesdays. I would think that I would have been contacted privately first, you know. Is last 2 weeks have been a little weird, but it's all good. Business as usual. So anyway, I got to go because it is 12:30 in the morning over here, and I have to put up the synopsis, and then I got to contact a few people, start sending out some emails to get some new intros made up and stuff. But next Monday, yes, Mike Gossett, you're right. Mish asked for his release. Yep, and I have granted it. So next Monday, it'll be the Don Tony Show, and we'll have a banger. And you know what? I don't have them here, but I got like tons and tons of like signed photos and stuff. Maybe we'll start doing some giveaways again and everything. But it's all good. It's all good. I just hope that there wasn't any jealousy factor over here, you know, because I've said that for a few years. Like it's strange. Like when good things happen to some people, for some reason, people get upset at that. And I just hope that the announcement that I made, you know, because he was not part of it, you know, that's something that, you know, has to be understood. When Blue Wire signed me, they said to me, we want the Don Tony Show. That's what the deal was. I didn't turn around and omit him or anything else. That's what they wanted. You go on their network, it says the Don Tony Show. And that is, you know, that is the channel. That is the show. That is the flagship. So Breakfast Soup Raw is a title that was supposed to be intended for Monday nights for Raw. But no, going forward, Don Tony Show across the board. We'll probably keep Wednesday Night Dynamite because it's just a catchy name and everything. But no, from effective immediately starting Monday, it'll be the Don Tony Show. And we'll see what happens tomorrow, because obviously I have to make an announcement on Patreon tomorrow. In fact, I probably won't even wait till tomorrow. I'm going to post something tonight on Patreon, let everyone know that Mish has requested his release, And what do they want with the channel starting May 1st? Do I shut it down entirely, or do we keep a Patreon show going, and do we keep the ad-free episodes and the monthly contests? If they want it to continue, I will continue it. If a majority of them say, nah, we're out of here, then it's done. So I can't freeze his contract. I pay a month in advance, so I'm not going to ask for money back. So it's all good. So one door closes, you know, others open. I lose no sleep. So, and look, it'll probably make Mondays easier because now I plan for me. No debates, you know, no topics, no having, you know, it is what it is. Like I said, if there's one thing that I have to say publicly is, Mish, I wish you would have told me privately. You know, 17 years of talking and doing stuff, you know, talk to me privately and tell me privately, and then I would have said, all right, you know, let's make the announcement at the end of the month so there's no controversy or anything. But to hit me here right before we leave, you know, I'm not going to lie. It kind of feels like, hey, you know what? I'm done. Bye. Out. There's not even a freeze frame with him smiling. He just went fade to black. So it's all good, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here. Leave any comments in the comment section. If you notice, the last couple of days, I've been answering tons. If you have any follow-up questions you want me to answer, post it in the comment section. And so again, the schedule, I'll be on Patreon Wednesday. We'll see if that's the last show or the next last show, or if the channel continues. That'll be up to them. And then I'll be right back here on Thursday, and then Saturday and Sunday. So it's all good, everybody. Have a great night. All the best. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.